Well, magandang umaga po muli sa lahat. Ako po si Jovan Villote and I serve as one of the elders ng iglesia nito at the same time leading him as a music director ng church na ito. Pray with me as we open up our passage for today. Oh Father, we come in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who has given us access to come before the holy presence of God. Panginoon, pinapanalangin ko that you would consecrate this time. As we receive your word, may the Spirit opens our minds and our hearts, even our ears, O Lord. Help us to stay away from temptation to be passive listeners of your word, O Lord, but to behold the wondrous things of your word, O Lord. We pray for the Holy Spirit to help and remind us to do all these things, to follow all the things you have commanded us, O Lord. And as what Peter says, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried by the Spirit. So Lord, make us worthy right now. Habang dumudulog kami sa inyong banal na presensya, we acknowledge our weakness in the midst of your greatness, O Lord. Send your Holy Spirit na manguna sa aming gawain ngayon. If you will, your words, O Lord, that will cause us to transform the moment we leave out from this place. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bible with you, please open it to chapter 53. The book of Isaiah. Isaiah 53 is a great and a powerful message kung saan pinakita ng Panginoon yung kanyang judgment and hope to restore His people. Na sa prophecy na binigay sa atin ni Prophet Isaiah, it's an amazing prophecy na meron, pinlano o tinalaga yung Panginoon that someone who would restore His people who is in the bondage of sin, who has been oppressed by the other pagan nations. So this prophecy is about the suffering servant na pinadala ng Panginoon. And from this passage, makikita natin on how the Lord has brought His salvation, not in a fancy way, not in a way that is really appealing sa lahat ng tao, but the moment it has been revealed, it elicits a response. So if you're a believer of Jesus Christ, may this serve to fuel your faith and grow your faith towards holiness, no? As walk as a man worthy of the calling that has been called to us by the Lord. And if you're not in Christ, may this message bring you hope and that the Lord will enable you also to grow your relationship on Him. And maybe you're not only that person, you're praying for a loved one na makakilala din sa Panginoon. And I pray that the Lord will hear those noble prayers coming from you. So this prophecy has been written by Prophet Isaiah. Who is Isaiah? Isaiah is a well-known and recognized prophet during his time. He is known as the Prince of Prophets. Kung meron tayong Prince of All Preachers na si Charles Spurgeon, meron din tayong Prince of Prophets, and that is the Prophet Isaiah. Isaiah is the son of Amos, who began to minister sa Jerusalem and serve as a prophet to Judah, sa Southern Kingdom. He gained yung trust ng mga tao during that time because most of his prophecy are spot on. Lahat po na pinaprofesy ni Isaiah that time ay natutupad. He prophesied during the Davidic kingdom, a divided kingdom, sa time ni Saul, ni David, and then sa time ni kalimutan ko yung anak ni ni David, si Solomon. All right, si Solomon. And during that time, during that 931 BC, the kingdom was divided. And after that, Isaiah was ministering sa mga taga Southern Kingdom, sa Judah. And some of the prophecies na na-fulfill dito, I would like to name a few, is yung una, yung pag-prophesy niya kay King Sennacherib, no? Yung failed effort ni King Sennacherib to conquer Jerusalem. Right? Makikita po natin sa Isaiah 36. And second is si King Hezekiah. We know the story ni King Hezekiah. He's a faithful king, but nevertheless, he made an alliance or he welcomed some pagan kings, no? Yung mga kings of Assyria to or Babylon to welcome him in the temple at pinakita niya yung mga kayamanan. Nagalit si Yahweh dito. And then, God poured out His judgment sa King Hezekiah and gave him some critical illness. And pinrophesy ni Prophet Isaiah dito na gagaling. Kahit ganito yung sitwasyon mo, the Lord has mercy on you. He will not slay you. He will extend your life. So, King Hezekiah was healed from his critical illness. And then sa Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, dito din yung first time na pag-prophesy ni Isaiah about the coming king, right? He prophesied Christ's first coming dito. And at ang pinaka-center ng kanyang prophecy ay makikita po sa passage na aaralin natin. That is found in Isaiah chapter 53, right? Wherein it portrays Christ, the Messiah, as the slain Lamb of God. So, Isaiah prophesied during the period when the kingdom was divided. He directed yung message niya and thrust, addressed it sa mga southern kingdom ng Judah, kung saan he condemns yung mga empty ritualism na ginagawa ng mga tao nun. And then yung idolatry nila kung saan made them fall into sin. That is in Isaiah chapter 40. And not only that Isaiah was a well-known prophet in his time, but he's also a faithful servant of the Lord. Just like the other prophets, God used him as a mouthpiece to bring hope and salvation to the people in his time. What about in our time? May nakikita pa po tayong mga bagong propeta ngayon? Pag may nakita po kayo, tumakbo po kayo pa agad because there's no prophet anymore. Right? In our time, we don't have any prophets to proclaim what God wanted us to know because some of these prophecies were already fulfilled and will be fulfilled in the coming age. God has already revealed to us what He wants His people to know. Ang mga instructions na binigay sa atin ng Panginoon, He wants us to adhere in His very word that is written. At saan po iyon? God gave us His word in the Bible. And as the prophet Isaiah prophesied about the coming judgment for the wicked, there is a message of hope na makikita that is reserved for the righteous. That one day, gaano man kahirap yung buhay, yung oppression sa kanila ng mga neighboring pagan nation, God will restore this broken world, no? Which is marred by sin, and He will gather His people in the new millennial kingdom where His Son will reign and will be worshipped by His people. So here's a message of response for us today. God has already displayed His plan of redemption by sending us a suffering servant kung saan who will bring salvation sa lahat. And for those who would believe, God will bring. Those who would not believe sa mensahe ng Panginoon, He will bring His divine wrath to those who reject His Son. But to those who would believe, He will bring hope and forgiveness to those who trust in Him. Therefore, we are called to believe and live out yung gospel na pinaniwalaan natin. Yung gospel na itinuro sa atin, that we are to reject what is evil and cling to what is good. We should persevere, mga kapatid. Be faithful in times of suffering and manifest yung Christ servanthood sa lahat na ginagawa natin as we serve others. I believe this is the kind of response that we should follow according sa ating passage. And my main point for us today is this. It's a short one since wala tayong projector. So bear with us for a moment. The main point is this. God sent His suffering servant to save His people from the slavery of sin. One more time. God sent His suffering servant to save His people from the slavery of sin. And out of this main point, there's one sub-point from all the verses 12 that we will be talking today. And that is the excruciating death. The excruciating death and victorious resurrection of the Messiah. Friends, I want you to know how crucial is ang passage natin for today. You may be here for the first time, or a new attendee, maybe you have been invited, and maybe you are attending for a while. If you are not yet a member of the church, come to us, your pastors, or your mga brothers, sisters natin dito, to know more about true Christianity at ano yung pinaniwalaan natin. And if you are already a member of this church, whatever the case may be, you and I must adhere to God's word and take it seriously ang bawat commands ng Panginoon. Let me point out the biggest dilemma that we are facing right now. Just like in the time of Isaiah, Isaiah pressed his message to address the people's rebellion and ang kanilang disobedience. He condemns yung practices nila, worshiping other gods, trusting other earthly kings, which leads them to idolatry in which the people had fallen. The biggest dilemma of the people of Israel is this. It was their lack of faith. This led them to trust earthly kings rather than trusting yung messianic king. And therefore, they fell to the sin of unbelief. And my prayer right now para sa atin is that this text, this passage will bring you hope as you believe in the good news that one day our Messiah will come to redeem us, to judge us, and He will deliver all of us from pain and suffering of this world and to be reunited with Him in heaven. But while habang andito tayo, living in this fallen world, I want you to persevere. Believe the gospel. Not only believe the gospel, but also live out the gospel that has been revealed to you. So let's go now to the first sub-point natin, the excruciating death and the victorious resurrection of the Messiah. Verse 1 to 12. Let me read first of verse 1. Who has believed what he has heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? This is Isaiah writing sa mga Israel that Israel will confess that she did not value the suffering servant. That Israel would reject the coming Messiah because para sa kanya, he's only an ordinary person. This passage starts with a question. And the question conveys the idea of the unbelief ng mga Jews during that time. The fact so many people will believe about their message, about the suffering servant, and pinapakita ni Isaiah dito na kakonti lang. Not all Jews did not believe the Messiah. There are some, and few Jews will recognize Him. That this message being preached and coming from God. Not only from the Jew, the Old Testament Jews struggled to believe yung mga yung prophecy na to, but also in the New Testament times, we observe that some of the faithful followers of Jesus Christ point to this thought or to this idea that many people will reject the Messiah. Like si Apostle John, who quoted this verse of John 12:38. He addressed the same message, the same thoughts among people about their unbelief. No? Some people believe in the Messiah according sa kay John, but for the fear of Pharisees, as they teach the faithful gospel, for the fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, right? So that they would not be put out from the synagogue. Pinagbabawalan sila mag-minister kung if they proclaim the true, the gospel. Because They love the glory that comes from the glory of man rather than the glory that comes from God. And even si Apostle Paul, when he addresses yung mga believers sa Romans, Paul proclaimed the message of salvation to the people of Rome. And at this point, not all people believe the gospel. And again, this verse, the same verse ang ginamit sa Isaiah 53 and has been quoted by Paul sa Romans 10:16. So what is the relevance of this sin of struggling, of sin of unbelief ngayon sa atin? It is true that we are also living in a secular times kung saan unbelief is very rampant. And it's increasing every time. Unfortunately, those mga tao who have fallen in the sin of unbelief are those people who disregard the word of God. Sila yung mga tao that who do not believe the scriptures. Sila yung mga skeptics. Skepticism, parating nagtatanong, parating nagda-doubt. Skeptics are growing, becoming bolder, more and more bolder as their minds and way of life are being influenced. By what? By the word of God? No. Their mind is influenced by the worldly practices. Ano-anong mga worldly practices? Social media, sa music, sa education, entertainment, judicial court system, and even the government. So, ang belief nila are based on this. That is why we, as Christians, I wanted to warn you, mga kapatid, for you to be responsible in using your time, in spending it in some of these influences. No? Have wisdom and discernment as you watch any form of entertainment, explicit movies, telenovelas, Korean telenovelas, if you want me to make it clear, or secular music, kung saan it implicitly displays carnal sin or lyrics. Do not waste your time on these worldly things, lest your personal disposition, yung holiness natin, might be influenced and be shaped by these secular practices. Instead, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Word. Study it. Immerse yourself on it. Embrace it. Grow in the grace of knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The bottom line is this. We live in a fallen world. And the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. So this, my friends, is a worldly dilemma. Everyone struggles, including the people in Isaiah's time, who falls into idolatry and worldly comforts. There are Jews who rejected the Messiah because they wanted a greater, a stronger, powerful earthly kings that would deliver them from their oppressors. Ito yung sabi niya sa verse 2. Why there are so many Jews not believe in the coming Messiah? Verse 2 gives us the reason. For he grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of a dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. Isaiah is showing a picture of a tiny plant coming out from a large tree that has been cut down. So symbolically, this large tree is the nation Israel. At bakit ito pinutol? Bakit ito pinutol? Because of their disobedience sa Panginoon. The Lord brought judgment upon Israel. And He uses yung mga Assyrians and the Babylonians to conquer them. But even though that this tree has been cut down, this is a sign of judgment upon the Israel that another empire would rule over them. The Lord would cut down the forest, according to chapter 10 of Isaiah, and the mighty trees That is, God will raise foreign soldiers and leaders to cut down Israel. But God's kingdom will arise by shoot. Hindi yung shoot na binabaro, but shoot o yung talbos na sanga. Nahirapan ako maghanap ng translation dito. Talbos na sanga. Coming up from the stump or tuod ng puno. Tuod ng puno. Sinong puno ito? It is, ang pinapakita ni Isaiah dito is this. Isaiah undoubtedly thinking about God's promise, God's covenant promise sa kay David, that a descendant of David will rule over his kingdom forever. Yung branch na to, which refers sa Messiah, will bear fruit, that is to prosper and benefit others. Now, imagine this. The Jews are waiting for such a long time for them to be delivered from their oppressors. They will not. Do you think they will accept ang ultimo at ordinaryong deliverer? Right? They will not accept. They will not settle to accept an ordinary, a sick, a weak kind of savior to save them. So the nation, Israel, will reject him. So what do? They despise and rejected the coming servant. It is the same struggle that we have today, right? We place our trust in some influential people in hopes that they will help us to achieve yung biggest dreams natin. We want all big things. Big houses, big cars, big bank accounts, right? People, especially living in this country, want to establish a name for themselves. They always wanted to be the world's first, right? World's first tallest building. World's first innovated building or whatever, a school. In so many things, I cannot enumerate most of them. The point here is that people nowadays will not settle for anything less ordinary. Less, they will reject it or despise it. Like what the other Jews did to reject the Messiah because of he is ordinary and weak. But God says, in the immediate context ng ating verses, verse 2 ng 53. So, verses chapter 52, 13, in sinabi niya dyan, "Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up, and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred," verse 14, "beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind, so shall he sprinkle many nation kings, shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them, they see, and that which they have not heard, they understand." So verse 14, it's a parallel verse ang sinasabi ng verse 2, chapter 53. Right? No people will give interest sa servant na to. Kasi hindi nga nila mamukaan eh. Right? Imagine isang boxer, no, nabugbog sarado yung mukha, yung parang na-disform na yung mukha. I think you have used some of that illustrations in yung Bible study group. So, hindi nila mamukhaan. So, ba't ba ako magta-trust, no, that these people, hindi nga niya ma-defend yung kanyang sarili. Right? So, this is the question that is going on sa mind ng mga Israelites na yan. So, verse 3, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief." The nation Israel will despise and reject the servant who experienced sorrow. He was a kind of individual people that hindi tinitingnan ng tao. Right? And they will drive him away. For these reasons, the nation did not esteem him. They did not think he was important. Yet, he was the most important person in the world. for he is the servant of the Lord. Verse 4 to 6. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own ways. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 4, when I was reading it, kumukurot eh, sa puso. It's so heavy to read this passage. Ang sinabi niya, ang magandang translation dyan is found in NIV. Surely, he took up our pain, and bore our suffering. Yet, we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. Verse 4 shows that the one who allowed these sufferings and shows the purpose why the servant should suffer. So, who willed for his servant to suffer? Sinong pumatay sa Panginoon? Kaya mabigat. It is God. God who afflicted pain and trouble to this servant. This message is very troublesome. It's very inconvincible, inconceivable. Why would a God who is loving would allow His precious servant to be treated sa ganitong kalagayan? It shows that God is one of the reasons who is responsible for the Messiah's death. For he allowed trouble, suffering, and death to his obedient servant. So, who was responsible for the death of God's servant? Ang answer na to is the answer that lies in this question is very multifaceted, or the answer is varied, no? Because it involves more than just one particular group bearing yung responsibility sa pagkamatay ni Kristo. And I will share more on that later. But let's look at yung suffering ng servant na to. Ano yung purpose ng Panginoon? Friends, let's remember that God is sovereign. He is all-knowing. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, nor His ways. Nor your ways are His ways, declares the Lord. But even in this passage, He revealed the purpose of why would He allow His precious servant niya to suffer. Verse 5, it is because of our transgressions. The suffering servant was crushed for our iniquities. Kasalanan natin. Because that man, the suffering servant who bore your sin and my sin, is sinless. At kung hindi yan ginawa ng Panginoon, Jesus sa atin, we cannot receive genuine peace and healing and reconciliation if God will spare His beloved Son. And praise God that God did not spare His own Son, but He gave Him for us all. The death of the Messiah is not due to unfortunate circumstances, no? Or suffering because of lawlessness. But He made Him be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. These horrifying events did not happen randomly. It was according to the deliberate plan and foreknowledge of God. Acts chapter 2, 23. So now we will witness other details about yung pagkamatay ng kanyang suffering servant according to these following verses. Let's read verses 7 and 9. Verses 7 and 9 talks about the servant that willingly dies for the transgression of people. So, earlier, Isaiah pictured him as a shoot, you know, talbos na halaman, maliit na halaman. But now, Isaiah is using a picture that the suffering servant is like a lamb who is gentle and meek and mild, who didn't even make a single sound when it was led into slaughter. I don't know about you, pero hindi pa ako nakatira sa lugar kung saan malapit sa slaughterhouse, no? Can you imagine when you are living beside a slaughterhouse, yung amoy, right? Hindi lang yung amoy, but yung ingay ng mga kinakatay ng mga hayop doon. So mahirap. But not this kind of lamb, no, that has been led to slaughter. He didn't make even a single sound. Ang sabi diyan, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. It's like a lamb that is led to slaughter. It's like a sheep that before its shears it's silenced. So he opened not his mouth. Verse 8, by oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people. And verse 9, and they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death. Although he had done no violence, there was no deceit in his mouth. As noted sa verse 6 earlier, we know yung mga nature ng mga tupa, right? The tendency of the sheep is to follow others. They follow on their own, even to their own destruction. That's why a sheep needs a shepherd to guide him, to direct them into the right path. And it's the same thought ang binigay ni Isaiah dito sa verse 7. He presents the gentle nature of the sheep. The suffering servant quietly submitted to his death. He's like the lamb that is led to slaughter. But not only he was afflicted, but he was also oppressed and judged and taken away. He was cut off from the land of the living. Even at this point, nag-retaliate ba ang servant na to? He never opened his mouth. He never retaliates. He was sentenced to death. The prophecy says that he will die. But he died not because of any sin of his own. Right? For God, suffering servants, he's sinless. He will die because of the sins of others. This is what his followers testified about the Messiah in the New Testament. Paul mentioned it in the 2 Corinthians chapter 5:21 that for our sake, God made him to be sin so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And even John says, you know that he appeared in order to take away sins. And in him there is no sin. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 4, 15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. This proves, mga kapatid, that the servant is innocent and righteous. But yet, he was judged on behalf of the people's sin, so that those who trust in him will be saved and be reconciled to God. Verse 9, they made his grave with the wicked and with rich man, a rich man in his death. Although he had done no violence, there was no deceit in his mouth. This verse was fulfilled sa account ni Matthew, if you remember. The soldiers the soldiers who crucified the Messiah, apparently, they intended him to bury along with the wicked. Pero hindi ito nangyari, right? Because there was a man, Nicodemus, no, who requested na dalhin ang katawan ng Panginoon and place it sa tomb ni Joseph of Arimathea. That is found in Matthew 25. So hindi ito nangyari, right? They made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death. Although he had no violence, there was no deceit in his mouth. And as I said earlier, who killed the Messiah? Yes, we know that God killed his son for our own salvation and for for the Messiah to demonstrate that He alone fulfilled yung commandment ng Panginoon. And there's another suspect dito. Right? The answer who killed the Messiah, as what I've said, it's multifaceted. It varies yung answer dito because it involves more than just particular group. And at this point, Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, who sentenced the Messiah to be crucified, Matthew 27:26. At even yung mga soldiers din, sila yung responsible ng pagkamatay ni Jesus Christ. They literally done the killing of Jesus Christ. So, they are also the ones who killed him when he hung God's servant on the cross. Verse 10, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. And when his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. Verse 10 is a parallel thought of verse 4. That God was the one who inflicted pain and suffering sa kanyang servant. And Isaiah repeated it. The will of God, the will of God. He repeated it for emphasis. So now we learn na yung verse 4 na to, that it is God's will for his servant to suffer. He did not spare his own son or his own servant because it was according sa kanyang deliberate plan and sa kanyang foreknowledge. The statement, the Lord made the servant's life a guilt offering, does not mean that the suffering servant's life was satisfied the wrath of God, but that his life, which culminated in his death, was a sacrifice for sins. Naka-indicate ito sa chapter 53 verse 7 na binasa natin. He had to die. The Messiah must die to satisfy the righteous demands of God. The word guilt offering in Hebrew is asham. And ginamit itong word ito way back sa Leviticus chapter 5 verse 15 wherein it paints the picture of a lamb, or we refer it to Christ, substitutionary atonement. Anong substitutionary atonement? It means that anyone who commits a breach of faith or nagkasala sa Panginoon intentionally in any holy things of the Lord, he shall bring to the Lord a ram without blemish as a compensation. No? This serves as the guilt offering. And the servant's life was the sacrifice for these sins. So maybe you are thinking right now, I have exhausted a lot of sufferings ng coming Messiah. You may ask this question, when will this suffering will end? What will happen after the death of the suffering servant? Verse 10 and the following will give us the ultimate hope. And maybe some of you have drawn out the gospel message of verse na to. Ang sabi sa verse 10, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief when his soul makes an offering for guilt. He shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. Friends, this is the gospel's message of Jesus Christ. Ang servant na tinutukoy natin, ang suffering servant, the Messiah that is about to come, this is Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the suffering servant. It shows that the Lord will bless and prosper his servant because of his obedience to the will of the Lord. Jesus' suffering, including his death, led to life at sa kanyang resurrection. Jesus was satisfied that his substitutionary work was completed. Ang sabi ni Christ sa cross, it is finished, when he gave his life on the Roman cross. He now can justify or declare righteous those who believe in him, that by his knowledge, he bore the punishment for our iniquities. The question is up again, sinong pumatay kay Jesus Christ? Is it only God? It is only the Roman soldiers? You and I killed him. Ultimately, all humanity is guilty of killing Jesus Christ. It was our sin that put him on the cross. And because of our sin, God sent Jesus to save us. Humanity is both the cause and the beneficiary of Christ's death. Sinful people like you and me killed Jesus. But God used that unlawful killing as a means of our salvation. May purpose ang Panginoon. God can use the wicked actions of man to bring about His perfect plan. God's response to evil is this. It is His redemptive plan, His great love for us, that God shows His love for us, that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus willingly laid down His life to save us so that many people would not have to die. Because He died, we live. Jesus took the punishment we deserved for our sin, and He reconciled us back to God. The atonement of Christ was prophesied by Isaiah, but He was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on Him, and by His wounds we are healed because of God's great love. He provided the only way for us to be saved. Right? And that is by calling out in the name of Jesus Christ. So I plead with you right now, for those of you who hear this sermon, this might be your divine appointment sa Panginoon. So do not harden your heart. Right? What you can do right now is repent and confess your sin. Believe in Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Parati na natin itong nakikinig. We speak the gospel. We sing the gospel. We know Jesus Christ. Habang dinidescribe po yung coming Messiah, suffering servant, you know who it is. But the question is, does Jesus Christ know you? Does He know you? Do you believe His commandments? No. Do you live out yung command ng ating Panginoon? God, Jesus Christ, was punished, and He brought us peace. True peace we cannot find in this world, but only by the wounds of Jesus Christ we are healed. Because of His great love, He provided the only way to redeem us all. God did not allow death to have the final say, but He raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Ito yung nakikita natin for the coming few verses. So verse 11 and verse 12, He says, out of the anguish of His soul, He shall see and be satisfied. By His knowledge shall the righteous one, My servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and He shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, verse 12, I will divide Him a portion with the many, and He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because He poured out His soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet He bore the sin of men and makes intercessions for the transgressor. So we see that not only did this servant Jesus Christ died, but after He suffered, He will be resurrected. And ito yung good news. Ito yung nagbibigay sa atin ng pag-asa and assurance to those who believe and trusted Jesus Christ. Jesus now is highly exalted in heaven, right? Making intercessions and praying for you and me. One day He will come back to judge the wicked, but gives hope to the righteous. So this is a call of repentance sa ating ngayon. I want you to know how crucial yung passage natin. Not that we hear it regularly, but we have to ask God to give us a renew taste bud of the gospel. Hindi sa nagbabago yung gospel, but the Lord will grant us a new desire, a new fire, no? To love and honor Jesus Christ in our lives. So this is the gospel that has been preached to you. When you hear this gospel, it demands a response. No? Two responses. It's either you receive the good news of Jesus Christ or reject Jesus Christ. But I pray that you receive this call, not to harden your heart, but ask the Lord for the Holy Spirit to intervene in your life. Confess your sin and place it in Jesus. Now I want you to ponder, engage. For sa mga kapatid ko sa Kristo, I want you to ponder, engage. How are you living your faith in God now? Have you ever doubted ang promises ng ating Panginoon when we are fighting sin? Or have you become faithless as you face many sufferings you have faced recently? Another helpful question. What does Jesus' death and resurrection mean to me? Right? Why is it important? Jesus' death proves that He paid the ultimate sacrifice so that we can stand in the holy presence of God, blameless before God. God cannot let sin go unpunished. I don't know temptation and sin that you are fighting right now, but I would ask you to bring it out into the light. You should kill it before sin kills you. It does not honor God when you are nurturing sin. It's a rebellion before Him. And you will face judgment if you keep on nurturing your own sin. But if you confess and repent, you will receive salvation and eternal life. And as you repent from your sin and follow Jesus Christ, I don't guarantee that it will be an easy life for you, young believer, because the path is narrow and the cross is much heavier to bear. But God will provide you strength. By His grace, you will endure these sufferings. There is an end to all of these sufferings because Jesus did not remain dead. He overcame death and won the victory as He rose from the dead. Right? That's why the resurrection of Jesus Christ is important for us. It is important because it validates who Jesus claimed to be. You see that Messiah, that yung suffering niya, that would bear the sins of the world, the resurrection right now proves that the Word of God in the Bible is true. Kung hindi po totoo yan, huwag na po tayong mag-gather dito. Right? We are putting ourselves in submitting ourselves in these things na hindi naman totoo. The resurrection proves that the Word of God is true. The Bible is true. If Christ did not rose from the dead, then do not believe the Bible. But believe it and live it out because it's true. The gospel story is not an ordinary fable or a fairy tale. Totoo po ito, mga kapatid. It is about the redeeming love of God centered on the work of Jesus Christ. The resurrection is a triumphant and glorious victory for every believer. Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose on the third day according to scriptures. And guess what? He is coming again. The dead in Christ will be raised up. And those who are alive at His coming will be changed and receive new and glorified bodies. That's why we celebrate Christ's death and resurrection as we approach the Lord's table today. What a glorious display and opportunity for us to share this meal, the blood of Christ, the body of Christ, broken for your sin and my sin. Let us pray. Oh Father, thank you for the promises that we have in Christ. We pray right now, oh Lord, that as we go out in the four corners of this room, na bigyan niyo po kami ng new desire to honor you, your word. And no matter how plain and simple it is, oh Lord, it demands a response. So help us now to believe and live out the gospel that has been preached today. We want our lives, we want the gospel to be the center of our all, in our lives. At hindi lang po ang aming mga sarili. May we see the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ in our midst, in His service, in His love, in His sacrifices, O Lord. Gawin niyo pong kami tapat until the day you will come and kunin kami to be with you in heaven. So thank you, O Lord, for this time of worship. May your name be honored and be glorified in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.